G'day guys, how we doing? Leon here from the Body and Mind by Leon podcast. Welcome back. Welcome back. We have a very, very, very interesting conversation today around bulking and the necessary requirements when it comes to building muscle. Do you need to bulk? How much do you need to bulk? When do you cut? It's going to be a riveting conversation. But before I get into that, I have my amazing co-host back today, Mr. Ryan Good. My man, welcome back.
It's good to be back.
Dude, it's good to have you back.
I'm feeling it. New year, new me.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, did you feel a little bit neglected because I had kind of put you on the sideline for a little bit?
Bro, I feel like I'm just bringing the life back into this podcast by being back here and co-hosting. So
yeah, I think I did a solo one the other day and I felt a little bit lonely. and I have another series coming out as well, which I have another co-host as well. It's called It's How You Think, which is we interview some incredible guests, and that'll be out very, very shortly, actually in a couple of weeks. It's kind of like it's in the fitness industry, but it's a little bit different. It's more about fitness and well-being, and we have some incredible athletes, movie stars, inspiring people that we have great conversations with. But for today, the Body and Mind Bowling podcast, we want to talk about bulking, Ryan Good, bulking, and how much should you bulk, and you know, how much food do we need to grow muscle? When do we need to bulk? When do we actually do a cut? All these things that I think is very confusing for the average gym goer in the gym. Would you agree?
Yes, and I think that's why it's a good thing that you've got me here right now, because I feel like I would call myself the average gym goer. Doing my best, but yeah, this is something that I'm just learning very recently and trying to get my head around and just trying to fully understand. So I think I'm ready for a bulk now. Mm-hmm. Because I've been in the land of perpetual cutting for probably 3, 4, 5 years. Probably left a lot of gains on the table doing that.
It's a little bit long. I just might put in that quote in there. 5 years in a deficit. It's a long time, Ryan Good, would you say?
I should have pulled out a long time ago of this cut. But yeah, I think I've learned a lot from talking to you and just, I don't know, sometimes it takes a long time of just learning from your own mistakes to realize that sometimes you got to sit in a nice surplus for a few years, where I think we're living in a time where it's very hard to see what's real and what's not real when we're seeing a lot of six packs on Instagram.
Yeah.
And everyone seems to be ripped year round.
Yeah. Look, and I think that's the common influence that makes us want to keep dieting and cutting, because I guess me being in the fitness industry for a long time, the first thing that people want to walk in the door, well, obviously they want to get themselves into shape. I think that's a given. However, there's actually a lot of barriers before I need to get someone to get in shape. So the average person will come in and let's say they need to lose 20, 30, 40 kilo. And day one, they're sitting down, they're going, oh, I need a training plan. I need a diet plan. I wanted a meal plan. I want this. I need to do that, X, Y, Z. And I'm like, whoa. Let's slow down a little bit. Take a deep breath. And the first question is, are you moving at the moment? Oh, no, I'm thinking about it. Are you in a gym at the moment? No, I'm not too sure what I'm doing at the moment. I said, okay. Let's not go to step 10. Let's actually start from the bottom and let's actually look at what are your resources? What do you have available? What time do you have available? What's the frequency that you can exercise? Let's not worry about, having a nutrition plan. Let's worry about doing the simple things first, like maybe even getting a small routine into place. But when it comes to obviously fat loss, I think, for someone to worry about fat loss, I believe there's a phase where you've actually got to focus on building muscle first. It's like, I want to build a house, but can we decorate it first?
Yeah, and then I think this is a really good point, because I think this is a big mistake. I can just speak for myself, and I do believe a lot of people have this same feeling, is they come into the gym, they want to get into fitness, they want to get their body, they want the Instagram body, they want they want the aesthetic look that they see online, and their first thought is, I want to get six pack. That's the holy grail. I feel like that's the holy grail of bodybuilding. Holy grail is, I want to have the six pack.
Yeah,
I don't think many people ask themselves the question, when I have that six pack, will my level of muscle on my frame be enough to make me not just look skinny?
Or when I get that six pack, will I actually be even happy?
Very good point.
Because, a lot of us, again, we are highly influenced by those around us, what we see in front of us, i.e. social media especially. is that what one thing I've learned that is, I remember the first time I ever did a bodybuilding show and I got myself a six pack from being, you know, probably grossly overweight, to be honest. And I'm like, that was cool. And then I'm like, then I did it again and again and again. I'm like, oh, okay.
You thought the sky was going to open up, rainbows and stars.
Yeah, and you know what? I still carried the same anxiety and the same worries and the same fears as I had in life anyway. So as a point of reference, you know, there's a lot of times people want to get themselves in shape. And what we find out is that, you know, we're going for that cosmetic because we feel that that's going to make us feel better and all our problems will go away and I'll be amazing and the girls will love me or the guys will love me, whatever it is. But in reality, most people that are walking into my door are carrying existing problems. And I think if we can learn to get people into some sort of structure, routine, execute some basics, some boring words like consistency and discipline and patience, they don't sell well on Instagram. That's why I don't have a great social media, because if I was to tell everyone that if we can learn to execute the basics, no one would follow that, because the simple fact of reality is this industry is very simple. Mm-hmm. It's become very complicated because it's become about sales. And I think more people are confused when to bulk, how to bulk, when to cut, when not to cut. When in reality, I believe that people should be addressing their well-being, their mindfulness, working in conjunction with a health and fitness routine. And a great physique will be a byproduct of doing all those simple things right.
Mm.
And then you realize that, you know, having a six-pack doesn't necessarily make anyone happier. By no means. I believe that, you know, when you feel comfortable within your skin, that's a great thing for a human being. I think everyone at some point should be comfortable in their skin. And that doesn't mean a six pack, because again, I carry one every day and it doesn't make me any happier.
Mm.
There's other things that can do. So Ryan, well, as a great example, you know, after your sort of 5-year, you know, calorie deficit, you've been running.
Mm.
Let's be realistic. The last 2.5 years, we have been working together. And I've had to convince you many times to, you know, be in a surplus, and your mind was like, but hang on, I'm not there. You know, I want the six pack, and hang on, I've just had a 3-week binge, and can we cut again? Because I feel uncomfortable. And it's the first thing people want to do. I feel uncomfortable with my skin, so I want to cut. But there's also a healthy relationship with food, which is something that I think will help you once you start building the foundations of muscle. Because at the end of the day, If we use an example of muscle on our frame, it's like, you know, the more muscle we have, we carry a big F250 around, which can hold a lot of fuel, yeah? So if we have emotional eating or binges, or we eat too much at certain times, our body can kind of handle it. But if we have less muscle mass and we want to keep cutting all the time, we're kind of carrying around a Mazda 2.
Mm.
Doesn't take a lot of fuel. So when we overeat, we put on body fat, we spill real fast. So the importance of carrying muscle mass, metabolically, it helps us, because I like to say muscle drives metabolism. Mm. So the more muscle we carry, the faster our metabolism, the more calories the body can burn at rest.
Mm.
And I think that's the biggest thing that we want to get to right this moment, that I've trying to be convinced you for the last 5 years that, dude, we need to sit in the sidelines and we need to grow for the next 2 years to build your frame like an F-250 so it can take 150 liters, aka, you know, maybe 2,500 to 3,000 calories, you know, and maintain weight. Not you eat 2,500 calories and you've got muscle mass the size of a Mazda 2. No disrespect to Mazda 2. My daughter drives one. They're amazing cars. But that it can only carry sort of 30 liters, which is not a lot of food, so to speak.
Mm.
So we need to build you some muscle and then you were saying this morning, but how much food can I have? And I'm saying, okay, well, let's go a little bit deeper than that. And it's, I can't answer that just yet, because I don't know how hard you're going to train. Are you going to build the big F-250?
Mm.
Well, that's the conversation we're going to have. So in a bulking phase, this is where we're going to head with you right now, Ryan, as an example. So you've, and it's just explain to the listeners, when was the right time that you said, or even I agreed with you, it's time to bulk now from out of a cut?
I think because I came from a world of having a spare tire around my waist for so many years and it being, you know, that thing where I tried to Google how to spot reduce belly fat and my face was round and chubby and the double chin, and I was so hyper-focused on how do I lose that belly fat, lose this, that I didn't realize, because I didn't know how to diet correctly and I was doing it the wrong way and my metabolism wasn't where it needed to be, I always struggled to believe that I could actually achieve it.
Mm.
So for me, I just needed to know for myself that I could do it. So when I actually got to a certain level of leanness that was like adequate enough for me to not feel, like to feel comfortable in my own skin.
Right.
That's when I got to the point where I was like, do you know what? Now that I know, all I have to do is put my calories into this range, make sure I'm doing my cardio, make sure that my training intensity is adequate, just as we said just before, I can get lean when I need to get lean. But that doesn't mean I need to or should be dieting 24/7 year round just because I can. When I knew that I've always got this in my back pocket when I need to get lean, if I need to get lean, if I want to get lean, now I can actually comfortably focus on building the house, building muscle, increasing my metabolism, training hard and fueling my body.
Just to dive in on that note, just going back a couple of sentences, you raise an incredible point about belief.
Mm.
You actually had to achieve. See, where does self-belief come from? You don't just unravel it. You don't just wake up and go, I'm going to believe in myself today. So if you ask any elite athlete that's at the top of their game, you know, what's the best advice they can give you or the listeners, the viewers, they're all going to say the same thing. Kobe Bryant, my backboard there, out of all the words, the wisdom in the world that he could have left us with, his best quote was, believe in yourself. Really? Is that the best that he can give?
Mm.
Well, at the end of the day, that is the greatest advice you can get because that's where your results come from. Because when you start believing in things and believing in a truth of something, you start visualizing it and you start finding all the methods along the way that you need to make that belief come true. So you now know by adhering, being consistent, being disciplined, being patient to the mini cut. Well, you dropped the spare tire. You got yourself a six pack. So now your belief is I can do this now.
Yep.
Prior to myself, before us met,
you
didn't have belief that you could ever have a six pack because you hadn't seen it before. So, so belief comes from, you know, building confidence and executing goals and challenges along the way. So if anyone's sitting here listening going, oh, I can't, you know, I just can't see myself ever doing this. Well, with that attitude, you won't.
Mm.
And sometimes the way to get there is you need to, one, maybe work with someone or get the education.
I was just about to bring that up. Yeah, and that's for me is coming from that lack of knowledge and experience and having that, like yourself as a guide to help me get there. That was all I needed to know, oh, I was just doing a few things wrong. It wasn't my 5 years of, I wasn't, you know, incapable genetically of achieving this. It was just, there was just a few things that just need to be adjusted. And having that security now that I've got the right information, science-based information, that it's actually not impossible to get a six-pack. It's not impossible. It's easy to do as long as you get the right guidance. And that's what gives you that self-belief. As long as you put the right steps into place, you can achieve what you need to achieve.
Any greatness. And that's, we can talk that outside of, as an example, building the youth center here.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I get a word in my heart one day to build it. And if I be frankly honest, it's a lonely journey. It's a lonely feeling. We've chatted about that.
Mm.
And there's a lot of naysayers that say it can't be done. And in reality, the way that it was going to be built, it looks like it can't be done. I still don't even know how it got to where it's got. But what I do know is it's excelled in the last, you know, 6 months since it opened with, you know, nearly 2,500 kids have come in. But the only way that did happen was I had to have that utmost belief, no matter how challenging times were, doesn't matter how anxious or stressed I was or when I felt like things weren't going to move forward. By having that belief, and that belief that I had only come from me just getting my belief that I could do uni. So I just graduated from uni, just won business of the year. You know, I'm on to my third book. I couldn't even spell at school.
Mm.
You know, doing all these little challenges, you know, doing nearly 70 bodybuilding shows.
Yeah.
You know, I have the utmost belief that next time I diet, I'm going to get in shape.
Yeah.
I know because I've got the evidence prior. Mm. So when you lose your way in life sometimes and you go, oh, I don't know if I can ever get back there. Well, actually, you got there once, you can get there again.
Mm.
So sometimes you need to look to go, what did I do back then to get to that position? Or let's say you're going through, Ryan, a dark moment, you know, a bit of extreme anxiety and or you're depressed at the moment. And sometimes you go, I don't know how to get out of here. Well, actually, I was like this 3 years ago. What did I do back then?
Mm.
Okay, I did this. I got some help. I spoke to someone. I started more meditation. I started more gratitude. Maybe I went to church more, whatever it might be. But look at what you did.
Mm.
And there's the evidence and belief there to go, well, I can do it again.
And that's what I was saying to you this morning as well. It's kind of like competence more like it leads to confidence because when you've done it before, you've got guides in your life, people in your life that have shown you how to do it, given you the wisdom to do it.
Mm.
It gives you the confidence that you can do it. And when you have the confidence that you can do it, you don't have this urgent, anxious need to prove to yourself that you can do it in your own strength. You know you can do it. You believe you can do it. And therefore, you only go for the goals that you absolutely need to achieve.
Love it. Love it. And confidence can only get built from one way, achieving things that you didn't think you could achieve.
Yeah.
And once you consistently do that over and over and over again, and that is why I believe, you know, again, back to any sort of great football player or any great soccer player or whatever sport it might be, and the wisdom comes in years of experience.
Totally.
And usually that wisdom comes on the back end of being very confident after making so many mistakes, rising above their mistakes, and that's how you learn. Mm. And then obviously getting yourself in a shape. You know, it's hard for some people to visualize it when they may feel so far away from their goal, and they may be so far away from their goal. Mm. But you know, everyone that reached something great started from somewhere,
mm.
and most people, you don't like. We might see the roses, and we might see this incredible youth center here, but it's also been, you know, I've been doing this for 11 years, and I tell you what, there's been five deaths along the way. Mm. This has not been a great journey.
Mm.
It has been an incredible journey. But at the same time, it's been so hard that no one ever sees the hard. So anyone you see that's doing something great at the moment, I can guarantee you they had a pretty challenging story.
Mm.
No one got there with rainbows and roses. I can assure you and promise you that. And it's one thing I think we all got to learn to understand. Any journey is going to have its heartache and challenges, but that's the journey. That's all part of it. And that's the part that we build along the way. And I think, in all honesty, the greatest thing that we can take away from any journey is the resilience we build along the way.
Mm.
If we don't walk into the fire, we don't build resilience. Yeah. And I truly say that every challenge we go through, it's an opportunity
totally.
To grow. And I'm getting opportunities every single day, and I wish I didn't have to get these opportunities because I have a challenge with me every single day.
Mm.
But it is making me stronger in moments where I've just gone, man, I don't know. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, got it, Leon.
Mm.
You got it. You got it. You got this, mate. You've done it before. You've done it. Actually, you've done it 100 times last year. So you can do it another one more time, and another one, so on, so on, so on. So back to our bulking. We kind of went a little bit off stray there, but I thought that was all total relevance.
I think one of the ways that relates to bulking and cutting is, and I can just speak for me, I think that when you sit and you understand that bulking and putting on muscle, building the house, so to speak, is actually a process that, unbeknownst to a lot of people, actually requires a bit of patience and you being happy to enjoy not just the result, not just the picture, enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
Because you're always going to want more muscle. You're always going to want more. It's kind of an endless pit of more. And if you chase the number, chase the goal, you're kind of going to get to, like you said before, you're going to get to the end of the goal and you're going to be like, well, what now? But when you enjoy the journey, and that's, you know, bulking's a journey. Sometimes a slow journey.
It is in the natural world, especially. And that's why when I talk about to people around that their health and fitness goals, or whether I talk about business, relationships, it all takes time, and it all takes patience, and it's all going to have its challenges, and it's all going to have its uncomfortableness. Sometimes you're going to be, so to speak, bulking, and you're going to feel like, I've lost my six pack. I don't feel great. On my cheeks have gotten a little bit chubby. But again, we will talk about the correct way of bulking. I actually dislike the word. I don't think it should be a word that's actually
really
totally used. Yeah. I've never been a fan of the bulking. To me, looks like the old school bulking was just eat everything your eyes can see. And then train hard and heavy and get really fat and then rip it all off and lose 3/4 of it anyway because you're going to lose muscle as a natty anyway. And then you end up at the same weight.
Yeah, that's an interesting
point. That you were at the start. So if I talk about an example of me doing, it's actually 69 shows exactly I've started lean and done a cut, and I've put on a lot of weight and done a cut. And at the end of the day, 20 years later, I'm still the same weight on stage, if not lighter. but substantially bigger. The quality of muscle is better, more mature. It looks more grainier, more striated. So off seasons that when I've gone up to say, you know, 90 kilo, I've ripped down a 70 anyway. And to be quite honest, I never looked as sharp. And I've had times where I've gone to 80 kilo, ripped down a 70 and probably maintained a bit more muscle and looked probably sharp. Yep. You know, times I've stayed at 77 and ripped down to 68 and looked pretty goddamn good.
Wow.
So the evidence that I sort of seen was, well, I didn't need to be 16 kilo overweight to gain 1 kilo of muscle because I don't think I gained 1 kilo of muscle based on the numbers. So if anything, I might have actually got smaller.
And this is really interesting conversation, and this is really good for me right now that we're talking about this. And I don't know if this relates to anyone else, but because I've just come out of a mini cut and I've sort of got my midsection nice and tight and I feel like I've got the summer body, I'm now, because we're heading into winter, I'm now starting to think a little bit about, you know, pushing calories and, you know, trying to gain some muscle through winter. And I don't know, when you look at social media, you can get a bit excited and think, I need to be pushing the maximum amount of food possible to make the maximum amount of gains. So essentially you're kind of saying, at the end of the day, and like the, as long as you're in a surplus, there's a point where there's a point of diminishing returns with with your surplus.
Look, absolutely. And if you think about it, and if I be realistically, and I, you know, I talk live on air with you now, I go as a coaching perspective, you've been training now for, you know, 5 years, maybe. So you're past your newbie gains. Gone are the newbie gains. Mm. So you're gonna put on about 1-2 kilo of muscle a year.
So there's nothing I can do as a natty to put on more than 1-2 kilos a year.
Yeah, just be fake natty.
Wow. That's disheartening.
Yes, well, it is.
But it's the truth.
But hang on. Let's go back a little bit for a second. Now, if I said 1-2 kilos a year, but what if you times that by the next, when you're my ripe age of nearly 47? What's that? What's two? Let's say you put on 1.5. Actually, let's make our mathematics nice and easy here. Let's say you put on 2 kilo of muscle every year because you train like a beast, you're eating right, you're ticking all the boxes, and you do that for the next 5 years. That's 10 kilo of muscle, dude. That's 10 kilo of muscle. So that's a little bit outrageous. You're probably not going to do that. But 1-2 kilos of muscle doesn't sound like much. However, times over the next few years, that's a substantial amount of muscle.
And a lot of people want to get that 10 kilos quicker.
Yeah, and you see your same response, 1-2 kilo. Oh, my God, that's disheartening. Well, it's not if you're setting yourself in for the long journey.
Yeah.
It's like going to business. I want to build an amazing business. I want to, you know, I want this, that, and or the other. Well, that's okay. Lock yourself in for the next 10 years. Mm. Oh, no. Mm. I was hoping in 6 months' time I'll be famous and I'll have all X, Y, Z. I'm sorry, you're in the wrong fantasy world. And I think, again, back to bulking, I think we've got to understand, if you know your first year of training, you might be able to put on 5-10 kilo of lean muscle. Your next year, you might put on, you know, 3-5 kilos on average. You know, there's obviously some people, younger people, high test level people might put on more. But law of averages, they say the first person, you know, you might put on 5 kilos. Then you might put on 3 the following year. Then the year after that, you might put on 2-3. Then after that, on average, 1-2 kilos per year, if you dot the I's and cross the T's, might I say, as a natural athlete. So that's not a lot. But after 30 years of training, that's a lot of muscle. But most people don't look at that because we go, oh, my God, I got to cut again. I did my bulk for 3 months, Leon. I want to cut again. Do you reckon I build some muscle? No. But I trained hard for 3 months. Well, don't shoot the message. I'm just answering the question. Even if you put on 1 kilo, you know, your body hasn't learned to maintain it either. Yeah. You'll probably lose it again.
And this is one of those things that there's a lot of people, I see myself, you know, 4 years ago, and when I speak, I get frustrated at people that sound like me 3 years ago who, I want to cut my calories. Yeah. Someone's going, I want to go 1200. I want to lose. And I sit back and think, now I've got this perspective that you've given me of the importance of sitting in a nice, healthy surplus for your hormones, for your testosterone levels, for your metabolism, how that people are missing the importance and the power of sitting in that beautiful, nice surplus where you're gaining that 1-2 kilos of muscle a year. You're missing out on that process by going, I want to eat 1,200 calories. I want to eat 1,500 calories. I want to get ripped. And that was me. And so if you're a beginner and you don't really have the size that you want, and maybe you don't even, I was in that position where I didn't realize
that I needed to put on more size. I thought I was, I had bigorexia, where I thought I was bigger than I really was. Where if you're at a starting point and you're a newbie and you're obsessed with going to 1,200, 1,200, 1,500 calories, who do you think, would you say to that person, drop the goal of being ripped to the bone, just sit in a nice surplus?
Yeah, and a balance. You could find it, you know, especially if you're a newbie-ish. You're kind of still a newbie to me. I think there's, yeah, because you're still relatively young. Because we've only actually been, you've been training effectively for the time that we've worked together, say 2.5 years thereabouts, right?
You need to call the police because there's been a murder in the studio. There's blood all over the floor.
God, see, don't you hate my raw honesty here, mate? But the reason why I say that in a very positive way, might I say, Ryan Good, is that I still believe that, you know, there's a lot of performance that you are still ready to gain.
Absolutely.
And that is why I say you're still a newbie. And if you're benching 150 kilo or 120 kilo for reps, you ain't no newbie.
Mm.
But if you're still, you know, hitting around reps for the 80, 90, you're still a newbie when it comes to bench and stuff like that. So you've still got a fair bit of gain that you can actually get.
Totally.
That's what I mean. So if you were eating, you know, just a moderate amount of calories, your performance has still got to increase, which muscle can still increase. It's when you've been, you know, pushing the boundaries for 10, 20 years and you're trying to get the 1%. That's very hard. My biggest bench press is 147.5. I can't get 150.
Yeah.
People go, but it's only 2.5 kilo. I know, I've tried. I just can't get there. So me eating another, you know, 2,000 calories, I've done it. I've tried it. It didn't work.
Yeah.
All I did was get injured, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I think...
just on that, just quickly, because I think this is something that I've really learned this year. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think... A lot of people can come in, for myself, as a newbie, I'll take that on board.
Yeah.
I came in and just thought, the food, as long as the food's in the right place and I'm doing 12 to 15 reps of something, we're fine. And I would look at guys in the gym doing the 100 kilo squats, like the 260 kilo, deadlifts and all that. And I'd be like, that's good for them because they're bigger than me. And I never really pieced it in my mind until recently that's something that I should be striving towards. That's something that I should want.
Yeah.
Because like you've been saying to me for years, muscle follows strength.
Yeah. And performance is everything.
Strength is such a big part of this conversation.
It is. And again, when, you know, I get people that just want to compete. I'm all for competing. I love it. But they want to compete every year. Why? But most of the time they want to do it because they're masking life's problems at the end of the day. I can strongly advise them, look, no, can you have a year off, a year and a half? It'd be great. But there's a reason that the sport can help someone. It can actually help them get through the challenges, but it's not going to help them add muscle. They might go, oh, but I had a six month off season. I don't really look too much better. It's 6 months. All you did was gain 6 months of muscle that you would have lost during your dieting phase.
Mm.
So you're almost back to square one again. Then you got to lose more again when you diet again.
Yeah.
But I think in as far as bulking goes, Ryan, the biggest thing that I've learned is that, you know, I've been there and I've done it, and I'm still yet to understand the logic. Again, this is a debatable topic. I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. I'm just going to talk on experience here, a bit of science as well, that I've tried to put on 20 kilos to gain an extra 1 or 2 kilos. Potentially, it's all I'm going to get in a year anyway.
Because that's what everyone tells you to do.
Yep.
Eat more.
So what part of logic does it mean to put on 15, 20 kilos, so eat and get big and rip it all down to be the same weight? I wasn't great at school, but my math tells me that doesn't add up. To put on 20 kilos to gain 1 kilo. What if we could measure it and be... You know, measuring, I'm big on, you've got to know your numbers. Now, the average bulk of someone is an excuse to just eat randomly, whatever they want, when they want, and say, get out of shape and say, yeah, but I'm bulking.
Mm.
What I have seen is I've seen some great athletes over the years, and I've coached many, many great athletes where we've done the bulking thing and it's been successful. There is a time and a place, I believe, for a young amateur or once in your life to do it to get some newbie gains.
To get fluffy.
Yeah, and you're going to get good gains at the start because it's all new.
Mm.
But when you've been training for, you know, 5, 10 years, you've got to start being a bit smarter because one, let's be realistic. Do you really feel putting all that food is great for our body, our liver, our hearts? I don't think so. You know, to put in 4,000 or 5,000 calories consistently, that also can't be great when it comes to insulin, when it comes to the body, diabetes. I don't believe that's also a healthy way of surviving and living. Again, there's a time and a place for everything. But I think what I've seen, Ryan, be very effective is having people in around that 5-10% just over their maintenance.
Interesting.
Because
so what would that equate to, if you use me as an example for someone who's listening? If I'm eating around 2,500 and I'm maintaining my weight.
Yep. So we would then look at to go, there's a maintenance. So I'll say around that 10% above that thereabouts, which then brings it to about 250 calories roughly above that. We'd also be having a look at your output of energy. You might go, but I'm surfing 5 times a week. Well, hang on. Well, that changes the dynamics. We're not talking about surfing. We're talking about bodybuilding here. So if someone wanted to add muscle, if they were really moving around a lot, then you might need to be slightly higher. But if you were around that 250 calories above your maintenance, you are sneaking just in the surplus. And guess what? You still got to probably look pretty good. Because if you do it slowly with patience, you're going to feel the muscles out. They're going to look bigger. They're going to look better. You're going to grow muscle. And even though your six pack might not be sharp, but if your shoulders are getting wider, you know, your chest is getting thicker, your back's getting wider, and your midsection will now look smaller anyway.
Yeah.
So you're starting to feel the muscle out. So you could actually, in a bulk control, you can actually start to look better, Ryan.
Yeah.
Than actually being like maybe lean, but a bit on the skinnier side, a bit depleted, a bit stringy is the word that we use in bodybuilding.
Yep.
So that's what I would say with yourself and an average person. Say myself, I'll never bulk anything more than I need to. And for me, I find I know when I'm surplusing because I can see the shadows in my midsection straight away.
Yep.
And at 47 years old, I can see it go straight to my love handles immediately. And I know that's when I'm going to be in my numbers. But for me, I know around that 2,800, 2,900 at my age is definitely going to be my surplus. I can maintain around that 25, and people's maintenance, it always differs.
So it shouldn't be 5,000.
I think 5,000 for any natural person.
Because that's a number that I hear getting thrown around a lot. Yeah. You need it, 5,000 calories. That's what guys are eating.
You ever tried to eat that?
It's a lot.
Now, what people say and what people do are different things.
That's true.
I've done 4,000 calories. Believe me, I don't think I've done more than that. And that's a mission. And you get to the point of going, I've got to start eating shit food because you can't eat to get 4,000 calories of clean food. Now, remember, it's all related also to the amount of muscle mass you carry.
Mm.
Look, there's also the other spectrum where there's ectomorphs that are, you know, genetically blessed with a metabolism that's going like a steam train. That's fair enough. Yes, those people will find it hard to put weight on. However, you know, I still don't think they're eating 4,000 calories as a natural.
And a lot of another factor of that is, in my experience, correct me if I'm wrong, Leon, in 9 times out of 10, that person that goes, I can't put on weight, every single time, they're a tradie.
Yep.
Or they work in a warehouse and they're on their feet, or they work in a cafe, they're burning so many calories, hard gainers.
Or the average tradie will go 5, 6, 7 hours without eating.
Yes, very true.
Oh, but I eat a lot. I mean, I just ate like a meat pie and I had a Coke and I had a sausage roll. Yeah. That's meal one. What's meal two? Oh, no. We didn't eat again until like 4 p.m. Being logical at the end of the day, what people are actually telling me they're doing and what they're really doing are vastly
apart. Think they don't really know what's going on.
No, because unless you're tracking the numbers. Yep. At the end of the day, if someone comes to me and go, oh my God, I can't lose weight. Listen, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I write a diet plan, for example, and let's say it's a female and we give 1,800 calories and they get to 1,200 calories. They go, oh my God, I can't eat any more food. It's too much food, Leon. I said, hang on. What do you mean it's too much food? It's only like 1,800 calories, or even say it's less than that. But when you're talking a lot of clean food and people are saying, oh, but, you know, I don't eat that much. And the fact of reality is when you're eating a lot of clean so-called food, I know everyone bags the word clean food, but if I say that, everyone knows what I mean. I'm just talking about your lean fruits and vegetables and rices and sweet potatoes and lean meats, etc. To eat a lot of that food, it's really filling. It's really actually filling. So when someone goes, oh, my God, I feel like I'm eating so much food.
Yeah.
But it's actually really not. So when it comes to bulking, in my opinion, if you were to make 80% great food choices, good luck trying to eat 4,000 calories, and nor will you need it. And I also, Ryan, I'll stick to my guns by this. I've always said, if you're in a good bulk and you're dead set serious about it and you're serious about keeping a great physique all year round, what I do, I ask myself, is this food going to work with or against me?
It's a good point.
And what I mean by that is that the quality of the food will always outweigh the quantity of the food.
Yeah.
So you can go, I'm eating 4,000 calories and, you know, and half of that's McDonald's and takeaway and shitty food that's probably going to hurt your liver and probably, you know, jeopardize your long-term gains anyway, because you'll have a heart attack or you'll have diabetes or whatever it might be. That's not adding any muscle to anyone's frame.
I
shift back a little bit and I say there is the initial newbie gains that eat like a horse, they train, it's all new, they're going to just blow up. That I think I'm not bothered about that. I'm talking about the person that's been, you know, we've been training for a while now, like yourself, yeah. 5-10 years or thereabouts. That's our target market here, which is probably 80-90% of people.
Being 17, 18, 19, 20 covers a multitude of sins.
Food-wise.
It
does. Hormones are through the roof. The bodies can handle their activity level.
Yeah.
Well, kind of. Their activity level is higher. The average young 16, 17-year-old can be a little bit sedentary. But either way, the ones that are training and active, they could probably handle a lot more calories than, say, the average working person that's got, you know, maybe a young family or thereabout or busy or has a sedentary job.
Yeah.
But again, a lot of it does come down to bulking your output of energy. That has to be looked at as well. You can't just go, all right, I'm going to eat 4,000 calories. But if I was to only do 2,000 steps a day and ate 4,000 calories, mate, I'd be 95 kilo.
Mm.
And my genetics aren't too bad when it comes to fat loss, but that would still, I'm not a huge guy, that would still be way too much for me. So for me, the bulking just being around that 10%, science will say 5%. The latest science will say that, you know, as long as you're 5% in a surplus, well, you're in a surplus, whether it's 5-10, you're in a muscle building zone, surplus.
So the difference between just eating a little bit over maintenance and a reasonable amount of calories in comparison to the 3,000, 4,000 that we're hearing that number getting thrown around about bulking, the actual amount of muscle that you're going to build as a natural is actually not that big.
No. So,
and all you're doing is having to do a bigger cleanup later when you have to diet all that fat off.
That's exactly, which means the dieting phase gets longer, you get weaker,
and you lose more muscle
because you lose your strength.
Yeah.
So if you can be just above that threshold, you look better, you feel better, so you train harder,
and the result's actually the same.
If not more muscle maintenance when you're ripped down.
Mm.
So again, for me, you know, the only issue that I find with being, you're scraping the barrel here when we're saying 5%, let's be realistic, because let's say you are very active and you've had a busy couple of months working or you're surfing, it's summer, your output of energy is huge, it's probably going to drop you right back into maybe a deficit at times. Mm. So you consistently won't be in a surplus. That's the only thing. However, if you are adhering and paying attention to detail, you're tracking your output of energy and you're tracking your numbers, and if you had maybe a higher day, higher week of work where, hey, you're on a building site and you're moving around a lot more, maybe you need to push that to 15% of a surplus.
Mm.
Just to equate for those extra calories for the extra output of energy.
Mm.
That's where the logic sort of comes in. But if you don't pay attention to detail, you're winging it.
Mm.
And then most people, which is 80% of people, I'm not building enough muscle, I'm not strong enough, I'm struggling to put weight on. Well, do you know your numbers?
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't run a business and not know your income. You wouldn't know how many clients you got, how much money you need, your bills. You know all that type of stuff. Yep. Your budget at home, you know that type of stuff more often than not. So when it comes to your body, if you want to get the results, you need to know the numbers. That allows you to have a clean bulk. And this is only stated to the people that maybe value bulking in a great way, that you still look great all year round. So you can still rip your shirt off and you still hold your own. And I would say that would have to be 80% of people.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know what you would say about this, but I would say, I know a lot of people that look great, train hard, and I go, you tracking your calories? And they go, nah. Mm. And it works. But I just feel like what's such an underrated thing to add to go to the next level, especially if you're well past newbie gains, start tracking your food. Learn to look at the macros of what you're eating and just see how much food you're eating every day. Blow your mind.
Yeah, look, it eliminates the guessing game.
Yeah.
Again, if we're trying to be high achievers here, if we're listening to this podcast, we're obviously wanting to get better results.
I know some people are sighing right now, going, "Oh, tracking, mate! Don't tell me to track my food."
I know, and nothing's forever. There's seasons of tracking and the seasons of not tracking. I don't track at the moment. I don't need to. I'm just in a maintenance. Life's good. I'm just training to enjoy it. I don't have any specific goals within my health and fitness. It's more work related at the moment. But if someone's serious about, hang on, I want to add muscle, but I'm afraid of bulking because I want to stay relatively lean.
Yeah.
Well, this is for you.
I personally love tracking because for me, I would equate it to the difference between walking in a room with the light on and walking in a room with the light off.
It is a great analogy.
When the light's on, I know what's around me. I know when the limit, I know where I can't go. I know where the walls are.
Yeah.
And I can have some lollies if I track them, particularly pre or post training to help me with my performance. Totally. And I'm not going to freak out or feel shame or guilt about those couple of lollies because I know how much calorically they were. I know how much sugar's in them. But if I'm just having a handful of lollies and I'm not tracking my calories, I'm thinking I've just had a handful of lollies.
Yeah, and when you hit a roadblock and you go, oh my God, I've tried everything, it's not working, this is that, well, no, you haven't tried everything. Maybe you need to pay more attention to detail. So what you say is exactly right. So when your results hit some sort of plateau, which is another golden word in the industry, I've plateaued, I'm not adding muscle mass. Well, hang on, one, are you not being patient enough? Let's have a look at our protein. Let's have a look at total calories. Are you resting? Are you sleeping? Mm-hmm. All these little things come into play. Yep. But if you're not measuring, I just don't think you're adhering enough to get the results you're after. Mm. And I think if we be honest with ourselves as trainers, as coaches, and as individuals trying to get goals, be fair income with yourself. Don't just go, oh, no, I tried everything. No, it doesn't work. No, this X, Y, Z. Well, that bulk, or I tried this keto diet, or I tried paleo, or I tried fasting. That didn't work. No.
Carnivore.
Look, and all they're doing, they're all just creating a calorie deficit. They're not magic potions. So we've got to understand all that as well. But as far as the bulking goes, Ryan, in my summary is I would love to see a lot of my clients know the numbers, know their variables, know their output of energy, and sit around that 10% above stage rate, 10% above their maintenance. Mm. That's what I definitely would be looking at for most people. And I kind of sit probably a bit more in maintenance now. Yeah. Why? Because I'm comfortable. When I go, hang on, I want to ramp it up a little bit for the next 12 months and I have a show coming up, I'm going to have to make sure that I know my numbers right now and I'm going to jack that up around that 15%, 10 to 15%, which will be another maybe 350 calories above what I'm having now, which is not a huge, large amount. It might be an extra 80 grams of carbohydrates, another few grams of fats, a little bit more protein.
That's all you need.
Exactly. I didn't say 5 extra burgers during the day.
You didn't say 2,000 extra calories on top. It's just a nice 350.
That's exactly right.
That's what we need.
And that's actually still quite a fair big chunk. That's actually quite a fair bit of food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So in summary, Ryan.
This is going to be, before we finish up, I think this is another point that I know that certain people listening to this podcast, particularly females, are going to be thinking to themselves and asking, that's great if you're a guy and they might have switched off and be like, I don't want to bulk. So where do you think this conversation fits in with, your average female that just wants to look good and they think to themselves, why would I want to be in a surplus? Why would I want to track? Why would I want to bulk? I don't want to be fat. I don't want to – what would you say to that person?
Males are human beings, yeah?
Yes.
Females are human beings?
Yes.
The goal's the same?
Yeah.
So nothing changes.
Yeah.
So I think, I think we're just about as keen or – We're just as driven to have an amazing physique, same as a female. So we've both got to understand, we both have skeletal systems, we both have a body, we both have muscles, we both have X amount of body fat that we're chasing. The protocol's always going to be the same.
Hormone setup is a slightly different, but it's ultimately the same process.
A little bit more complicated with females, and there's a lot more challenges, I must admit, with energy, flat tide, time of the month, so bloating, which can make them feel uncomfortable. So increasing extra calories with females can at times be a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But if you actually think about it, if a female was, eating, say, 1,500 calories and that's their maintenance, and I said all they want to do is be 10% above that to be in a surplus, that's only taking them to, let's say around 1,650 to 1,700 calories. That's not a lot of food.
Mm.
That is not going to add any unwanted body fat. That's actually going to probably make them look even better, enhance their performance, grow more muscle mass and probably look better in their bikini, fill out the glutes a little bit so they're not as depleted. So if you actually think about that 10%, you know, if we're talking a guy that maintains that 2,500 calories, so an extra 250 calories ish or 300 on top of that, from 2,500 to 2,800, that's not going to make you look terrible.
Yep. Eating slightly more food is not going to make you look fat.
That's exactly right. Yep. So eliminate the word bulking and just go, well, actually, all we're strategically doing here is pushing food in a little bit more so the muscle can actually grow. I didn't say push extra food in here to make you fat and horrible and look disgusting.
Yeah.
That's not what we said.
I think that's what a lot of girls think. Mm. If they push more food, they're going to be fat.
Yeah, and it's easy to think that. And look, sometimes as human beings, you know, oh my God, I just ate like 5 packs of Twisties and I feel terrible. Oh my God, I feel fat and this and that. And why 5 packs is a bit much. But, you know, if you did that next day, you could just go, well, maybe I just won't have the Twisties. I can bring my calories back by, you know, 300 a little bit just to balance things out over the course of the week. Mm-hmm. But also, I think it's one thing to understand for females. It's no different to males. We're all thinking the same. We've all got the same sort of goal. But if we're all
more muscle.
That's exactly
less
right.
Less body fat.
And to prevent, you know, long-term bouncing within diets, in and out, I guess I'll use the analogy of many people, Leon, you're always in shape, great shape all year round. What's the key? Train heavy and hard all year round. Mm. Consistently. Obviously, there's dieting phases that I'm doing for shows, but put that aside, I usually have around a three-year off-season now. That's a long time. Training relatively hard in that time, consistently, 6 days a week. I don't know any other, been doing it for 30-odd years. So the body knows nothing other than to, you know, just carry a decent amount of muscle for my small frame. So the calories go in, they get used, they get utilized.
Mm.
They just get chewed up effectively. So to stop that constant yo-yo body of, oh, I want to cut, get muscle on your frame so metabolically your body can handle more calories. So if you at times had a big weekend or you what it means and then all of a sudden you go, oh my God, I ate too much the weekend, but that's okay. I've got a large amount of muscle. I've been training hard for a couple of years. A couple of days later, I'll go back to where I was.
Mm.
So, but if you don't have that muscle mass, you're metabolically, you're hormonally in a lower position. So every time you overeat or have a little emotional binge, you add body fat immediately.
Which is where this whole concept of bulking in winter and cutting every single summer for 3 months can sometimes be a little detrimental.
Yeah. It creates also, I believe, eating disorders and it creates a bad relationship with food.
Mm.
So I think if you want to be in the health and fitness industry, I believe that, you know, we've got to build muscle. We're in a slight surplus to add the muscle. And then all we got to do is pull off another 500 calories to run a deficit. And then if we're in a good surplus for starters anyway, and we're doing that for a long period of time, the chances are we're going to diet on higher food as well.
Mm.
So if we are going to diet on higher food.
And I can tell you from experience doing 2 cuts with you, the first cut when I started at lower food, because my metabolism sucked.
Yep.
I suffered 3-4 times more than this recent cut that we've done because I did that off season that we've been talking about this whole podcast. Man, dieting is more enjoyable when you spend that time in the off season.
And you got leaner, yeah?
Leaner, fuller, and it was a more pleasurable experience.
Stronger. You kept more strength along the way because you weren't so depleted.
Yeah. Sleep. The whole thing.
Yeah. So the point of having a decent amount of calories, knowing your numbers when it comes to bulking is absolutely critical. Build on the foundations, build on the physique, build on the concrete slab because that is, again, the foundations of how your results are going to be. So in summary, Ryan, it's not a complicated conversation, but what it is, adherence, would you say, is the take-home message in knowing your numbers and executing the numbers, and then you only got to make little mathematical changes, a little bit higher for a surplus, a little bit lower for maintenance, and a little bit lower than that for a deficit.
Enjoy the journey. You know, enjoy sitting in that nice surplus. Enjoy, you know, you don't always have to be chasing that cut. You know, just enjoy building muscle, enjoy the process.
And like I always say, if there's a relationship with food, if you struggle to bulk or you know, you struggle to put weight on, you put a kilo or two and you don't like what you see in the mirror, my also opinion is, being a therapist, address that.
Mm.
It's not normal. It's not normal. If you have a poor relationship with food or what you visually see in the mirror, there's probably something underlying there that you don't have that confidence, or there's some self-esteem concerns there, or there's some trauma that's making you feel this way. So I'm a big believer too, if results are lacking, obviously education's here in the fitness industry, but also I feel that sometimes, you know, having an external source of deloading any personal problems releases anxiety, stresses, fears, worries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which allow you to sleep better, rest better, perform better. Mm-hmm. It's hard to perform when you're stressed and anxious and got the world in your head, yeah?
Yeah.
So ultimate performance comes from a good, clear frame of mind.
Absolutely.
Ryan, good, mate. Thank you so much for having you on, hey?
Always love being here, mate.
Good chat. Listeners, thank you so much. I hope you got plenty of takeaway messages there from bulking. And next one, I think Ryan will talk a little bit about the cutting process and get people taking some notes for when it comes to their next cutting phase prior to their little bulking phase, which I've spoken about today.
It'll be a good conversation. Cheers, can't wait.
Thanks, everyone. Cheers so much.